Okay. Now, are you ready?
Yep. We're ready.
Yep. We're ready.
Oh, really? You're ready for what?
Angels.
Oh, you're ready for an angel. You know, I'm very serious. This young lady is an angel. She's an angel on earth, and she's worked for God for a lot of years. And all this child does is just get sweeter and sweeter every year. And believe me, I've known her a long time, and she just keeps getting... Once I think she can't be any sweeter, she ends up getting sweeter. Absolutely wonderful, and she has asked God to use her for the rest of her days on this earth. And God will do it, and He is doing it. And she teaches by example as well as word. And this is our Reverend Rita. Yay.
Well, that's what happens when you stay around Millie long enough. You get sweet.
So, and sweeter.
And sweeter and sweeter as time goes on. I better get my talk out here. And glasses, since I left my purse up here. Good evening, everyone. And I'm just saying what an honor and privilege it is always to be here, because I feel like I found my home here in this little church. This healing church is a little healing community that we have. And I'm very proud to be a part of it, because there's a lot of love here. And everyone that you get to know is here to love. And everyone here wants to help each other heal in some fashion and form. So I don't think God had any mistakes. He directed me in the right directions to be here. So I thank you for allowing me to be here, and actually tonight letting me share some of my words with you. And most of you know me that all my life, it seems like all my life, I've been working in healing. If I haven't been healing myself most of my life, I've been working with others and supporting them as a coach or something in healing. And this has been my path, I think, to be a part of God's love and service. And that's what He gave to me. And I know everybody else has their way of expressing their service and their healing. And it's not always an easy journey, but it's the right journey, because all paths lead back to love. What I'd like to share with you tonight, there's some things about healing, what I've learned over the years with healing, through awareness and commitment. So, there is no brighter gift, no greater potential given to us as human beings than the presence of the light and love within us, the power that makes all things possible for us. And so, every time that we turn away and look to the outer world to be fulfilled in some way or fashion, we always have to come back to the center of who we are, and that's the love or the light that we are inside. And I asked myself, why do we run into it in life with so many problems that we have? Why do we run into any challenges that we have in life? And with such courage at the very center of our being, with such light and love at the very center of our being, why do our fears outpace our ability to put them behind us? Why can we not always live life in the light that we want to, the light and love? And I say, what good is the light of any lamp in the dark if we forget to take the lamp out with us into the night? In other words, what good is this fearless nature of ours, which is our inner light and our love, if we can't remember to walk through life without our light? So as we go about in the world, we walk out and we see the outer things that we think that we want and desire. But when we run into problems, we forget that we have the light that is and the love that is the purpose of all healing. That's where real love is. So how does a person heal? The only way a person heals is to go back to its center, to love. All healing comes back from there. You can't get it from the outer world. we get it from supporting from each other. If all of us run when we hear about someone like Larry or someone that's hurting, what do? We all go to our light and our love. And we share that part of ourselves, and we send that to that person, and that energy heals. And if that person's receptive, under God's will and God's light, it happens. Our common illusion in the world is that that's revealed to us through our senses is the whole of reality. That means that we look out outside of the world through our senses, and the reality we see, that's our truth. In other words, everything our present nature believes, that everything is worthwhile, that is pleasurable, has to do with what we can extract from our relationships, our business, our money and power, and so on. We look into this world that we see as being outside of us, hoping to find something in it to complete us. And what we don't see is that the nature that searching the outside world with to make us feel whole has set us apart really from the real healing inside. Because our spiritual path, our spiritual being inside, is the true nature that heals all things. The healing we need, the sense of wholeness for which we search, has nothing to do with adding anything to ourselves. Nothing to ourselves. And the healing that comes from recognizing the pain that we have had along the way with the suffering that's inherent in being negative or painful is born out of participating in the series of illusions that have been handed down to us from generation to generation. I find it interesting in our right mind, who would educate any of their children that the answer to heartache is to further stress oneself by struggling to control the conditions outside of ourselves? Or what about trying to distract ourselves from what they call, excuse me for the puns, what dogs us? The only thing that we win for such effort is to become the inadvertent slave of what we hope would free us. We're divided with serving two masters. One, excuse me, is our deep seated desire to avoid anything seen as unpleasant. And then there's the other half of it, an equally strong desire that is pressed to find a suitable substitute for whatever life seems to refuse us in the moment. So we have to go out and distract ourselves and find something that will take away the discomfort of what we're seeing in the outer world. And we must consider this is necessary work for ourselves to welcome the light and letting go of what we see on the outside as illusions to what is our real spiritual nature. Our soul's task is to release ourselves from an unconscious relationship with the false self, who imagines how to ever find lasting peace on the outer world. And that is the secret source of conflict here on our planet. Human beings always have more light within them, always more power of healing within themselves. It's not that there's not plenty of it. It's always constantly pouring out and pouring in through our hearts and our minds. The problem is that most of us have been distracted and have blocked ourselves from receiving genuine healing by focusing on the false part of ourself, the light of the self-centered thought, a thought that takes us off and thinking that there is something else better or right for us. You can see not just with individuals, but the whole world is in that state of affair, men and women, as you look around the world, have separated themselves from their inner being. And this is what's caused most of the conflict for all of us. The goal of all truthful teachings, I believe, in healing, is that have been handed down through the ages, is to encourage individuals to follow the path to a more expansive experience. Excuse me. I believe, and this is just my own thought, I believe that the truth of the depth of the heart is measured not only by what it can hold, but also by how willing it is to let go. The light of awareness that dawns on us, this light that dawns on us, as much as you love, you also have to let go. We become the very things that we sought after in our lives when we turn inside. We're all searching for compassion, wisdom, kindness, courage, and love. We're all searching for that. I don't care what all the outer circumstances are in our lives. Inside, we want all those things. Our spiritual task, assuming we're stirred to see the truth of ourselves and awaken to the light that first invites us and then unites us with us inner being and our light and love. Our receptibility is really truly what we are seeking. When all this is said and done, what is it that whatever we have painstakingly suffered over, we find out that something we thought belonged to us really doesn't? Whatever it is, you name it, persons, power, praise, possessions, even our own life proves itself not our own in its appointed time. So before we can hope to let go of all that is not our own with all the painful relationships attending these mistaken conclusions of ourselves, we must be able to see them as such. We must be able to see our true self as it is and go there of any time you have a problem, any time that you are seeking outward truth. And we have that here in this church, example by example. What's the first thing when we have confusion or pain or hurt? We run to our spiritual family, and it's provided for us the love, because we know that's what we are really seeking inside. So part of all this is really in healing, is to get people to become more aware of their own inner nature so they start healing within themselves. And therefore, as we unite more in our spiritual self, more in our spiritual being, we create more healing in the world. It happens as a matter of fact. I'd like to share a short story about a woman named Rebecca, and the story kind of exemplifies the attitude that we have to have. Rebecca had decided that her best chance of getting hired by a company doing geological survey work in Alaska wilderness was to earn a private license to fly twin-engine plane. So she took lessons from a wise old bush pilot who was highly respected. And after her mandatory ground schooling, she took her lessons to the sky. And once in the sky, the old instructor thought he would give her a special treat and turned over the controls to her. She felt like she was on cloud nine, at least until a scant moment later when she found herself rudely awakened within her dream. In the distance through the windshield, she could see something rushing toward her faster than what she could think to do about it. Right in the path of the plane was a huge snow-capped mountain laid dead ahead. Rebecca found herself frozen at the stick, and she was headed straight for them. All along, the instructor was watching and studying her reactions. He had turned the controls over to her to see just for this test that she was taking right now, just to test her out. He waited for the last moment and was just about to take over the controls when Rebecca snapped out of it. Then in a trembling voice, she said, "Sir, please take over the controls." He calmly said, "No." He spoke, "It is your flight." She could hardly breathe. She was like, "Oh my gosh." So, struggling, she dug down in herself and managed to ask one more question. Then she said, "What should I do? Please tell me what to do. We're all going to die here soon." She looked back at the instructor to see virtually no worry on his face. His calm demeanor helped to steady her nerves. She took a deep breath. The next moment, he gave her a short, three-word instruction. "Change your altitude." So, of course, her mind echoed back to his command, and split second later, she pulled firmly back on the controls, and the icy peaks passed beneath her and out of sight. And at that moment, soaring 10,000 feet above the ground, she never forgot the lesson that she could choose her own altitude. Now, this short truth story reminds you of a kind of a certain spiritual strength that you know that belongs to you, but you have to somehow forgotten it or misplaced it. And wouldn't it be nice to reach down inside of yourself and grab hold and watch that mountain of a problem, whatever it is, pass by you harmlessly, even as you reach higher and higher and happier skies. Such a power is not a pipe dream. It's the ability to take control, conscious control, of your spiritual altitude. Seen or not, our attitude determines our altitude. Our lower life comes by default. We were born with all the experiences here on this earth plane. And gravity guarantees we'll reach the bottom. But to go higher begins with choosing higher thoughts. You have to do the moment-to-moment work of dropping anything that you wants to drag you down. And truth itself will see to it that you rise. New strength in healing is in awakened attention. Any time that you're faced with any challenge, be it physical, mental, emotional, or even spiritual, you can seek higher ground by going within yourself. Because that love is fearless. It is the same since the beginning of time and has never changed. Our mind is what gets in the way. Our thoughts get in the way. And all it is in healing is helping someone turn that right back into themselves to see where they have an opportunity and a choice of what they want to choose to heal with. As simply as that, healing is. And that's what Jesus did when he healed. Jesus didn't heal people just because he could. The people that healed because they believed, because they were an example of the truth that was inside of them. And I think that we've forgotten, have misplaced that with our day-to-day experiences from our outside experiences. And I think if we turn inside and look that we have the power inside of ourselves to turn it up and to fly as high as we want over any mountaintop with just our attention, just shifting our attention, that's your spiritual power. That's the love that we all experience here, even in this community, this family church. It isn't because it's given to a few. It's given to everyone. Every person has it. You just need to tune into that channel. Right, Jody? So all healing, no matter what it is, comes from that deep love. And it comes back to you any time you ask for it and any time you pray for it. And I think we will always be on a healing journey because there's lots of healing needed to go on in this planet for each and every one of us. And if you feel like you've come a long way and you've healed a long way, there's a lot of other people behind you that you can be an example of for that. So take that opportunity for yourself, wherever you go. Whatever you do, let your thoughts be in love and healing. And I thank you for this time. Thank you.
She's an angel. She's an angel. So fun to when you get... So that you can watch other people as they go along the pathway, and I've had the opportunity of watching Rita for lots of years. Many years, actually. Oh, honey, Rita, I don't know how many years that's been, but it's been a lot of years. And she just got busy. She learned more and more about nutrition so she could help others with their physical. And she learned more and more and more about God's work, and God kept giving her one gift and then another and then another. And if you use the first gift and don't abuse it, then God gives you another and another. She kept getting these gifts. And then, just happened through draw of likeness, she drew to herself without purposely trying this wonderful man that is, again, I don't know that they, a guy, well, maybe there's like Jerry here, you know, and your brother and son, George, and Dan. Oh, well, here we may have exceptions. Maybe we have exceptions, I don't know, Larry. But she drew to herself one of the most wonderful men on this earth. He's a chiropractor interested in the same things as she is, as helping people with their body. And now they just walk along arm in arm, enjoying the grandbabies and enjoying each other and having this wonderful home and beautiful life and everybody loving them. And I thank God, Rita. Because I used to worry about her when she was younger. I worried for fear, you know, what if the wrong guy gets her? You know? Believe it or not, it can happen, you know? I worried a little, didn't I, Rita? I worried. But no, God sent Steve right into her pathway, and I got to do the wedding. Ah, yes. Life is good.